Hey, Mr. Oppenheimer, why don't you just give me your name and address and we'll see if it's working.
It's Oppenheimer, 44 Brown Street, Brooklyn, Mills.
Okay. Now, your wife said you grew up in Berlin?
No, I lived in Berlin for, I used to be on the stock exchange in Berlin.
But you were born in Munich as well?
No, I was born in the middle of Germany.
What town?
Marsberg.
And
in Australia.
Beg your pardon?
Australia is part of
Germany. Oh, yes,
Germany.
Uh-huh.
And I'm contrary to my wife, worked for Genter Auto. Till October 35.
Was this a large town?
No, medium size. Medium
about
size.
How many people?
Oh, let's see, less than 20.
No, I don't mean the firm, the town.
Oh, the town, the couple of castle. At that time, my parents had moved from Marsberg. We sold our factory, and they moved to Kassel.
Oh, I see. Now, how long did you live in Marsberg?
Oh, about 13 years.
Uh-huh. So you that was where you spent your boyhood years.
Yeah.
And were there a lot of Jewish families in that town?
Yes, in comparison to the community, yes. I would say probably 50, 60 families.
Uh-huh. And your father owned a factory?
Yeah.
What kind?
Liquor.
A liquor, yeah. A distillery?
Distillery, alcohol.
Uh-huh. And did you go to public school with the...
Yeah. Public school, high school.
Mm-hmm. And they were Gentile boys and girls?
Mostly
Gentile.
Mostly.
So you were...
Well, only in grammar school was a Jewish school. All classes in one room.
This wasn't grammar school, was
grammar
it Jewish school?
School. Jewish school.
Maybe you could explain that a little further.
The first, from the 6th to the year to the... I would say 11 or 12, was one class, all classes in one room. And the teacher was in his 50th year of teaching. So you could imagine how little we learned. All my school days were mostly terrible, I'm not calling that. But who can change a rabbi? It was a teacher, too.
Did you go to a public school as well, besides this
Jewish
school?
First, and then to high school.
Oh, so you went to your grammar school, was
grammar
a Jewish school.
School.
Now, did all the Jewish boys and girls went
all
to this school?
One class, one room, all in one room.
Until you were what age?
I would say to the moment, 10 or 11.
And did all the Jewish families send their children to this one school?
Yeah.
Was there any reason for that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What did you learn there? Was it boys and girls, or just
boys and girls?
Boys and girls. And were the classes conducted in Hebrew or Yiddish?
No, in German.
In German. So your early schooling, up until you were 13 or so, was spent exclusively
not
with...
Not 13, probably, let's say, maybe 3 or 4 years. 10.
So your early schooling up until that time was spent with just Jewish children. And after school, did you play with the Jewish children or the Gentile children?
No, that time, Jewish children.
So it was more tight-knit than what you...
Yeah.
And was your family religious?
My father was, my mother too, but we didn't have the kosher house.
You went to temple or synagogue?
Temple. Every Friday night. Mm-hmm.
And would you describe your circumstances as comfortable?
More than comfortable.
More than comfortable.
We sold out in 1913 a few million dollars. Not dollars, mark. But I see at that time, living in Europe, living in America, the dollar would buy us, the mark would buy them.
And what year did you sell out? What year did your father sell out?
1913.
1913?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
The ones who bought us didn't buy the factory. They bought it right to produce alcohol. We had a very high content of the pure, right? The highest part of a pure perfect alcohol.
Why did your father decide to sell at that time?
He had two partners at that time, and such a price he couldn't resist. Was a long time to do, because the war broke out in 1914. We sold some coal fields in 1925.
Coal fields.
The owner right, for royalty. We just gave it to the Weizmann Institute.
Now, did you continue going to high school in the same town in Met?
Yeah, Masbeck.
And that was a, let's see, what year would you have started high school about?
I don't know. I would say 10 years or 9 or 10 years, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And at that point you went with both Jewish and Gentile.
Then there were the majority of Gentile. Was a Catholic school.
You went to a Catholic school?
The high school was a Catholic school. Gymnasium.
Ah. Now why did you go there to a Catholic?
Well, it was the only school you can have for education.
It just happened to be run by Catholics? Mm-hmm. Were there priests and...
priests and laymen, poor.
Mm-hmm. And was that a big change from you, going from an all-Jewish school to a one where there were mostly Gentile? Did you ever experience anything up until this point that you were considered anti-Semitic? No.
Just as many Gentile friends as Jewish. The only thing is, in later years, in 1934 or 1935, they didn't want to be seen as Jews anymore. So they would be seen on the street, they would pass out, or go to the left or the right, not to meet. But they were forced to. I mean, you want to make a living, you couldn't fight against it. I mean, I couldn't hold it against it.
Did you, you said your father was religious and your mother was...
Well, my mother too, to a certain extent, but we didn't have a course on it.
Did you go to synagogue frequently? Or?
Yeah, more. Yeah.
Every Friday night, say? Or?
Friday night, Saturday, yeah.
Uh-huh. And when you were still in grammar school, did you have friends who weren't Jewish, playmates?
In grammar school? No, I don't. Some of the neighbors, maybe. Mm-hmm. But no intimate friendship.
And so you started high school at the Catholic school. And what kind of subjects did you study then?
I think we had a choice between English and French.
And did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had two brothers and two sisters. Only one sister's living. Mm-hmm. One, two brothers died with 93 and 1988. Died last year. And the other one died about 3 years ago. And my sister's 91 next year.
Now, what kind of activities did you do after high school?
After high school?
I mean, after your classes were over in high school, what kind of social activities were you doing in your high school years?
Nothing special.
Uh-huh. Did you join any clubs or organizations?
No. In Masbeck, there were no clubs. Uh-huh. A small community.
Were there any Jewish organizations?
The temple.
But that was all. It wasn't. Yeah. Now, what year did you move out of this town?
1913.
After you sold the business.
Yeah.
So you were. What year were you born?
1897.
Okay, so you were 1897. So when you moved out, you were 16.
The last 2 years, I went to school in a different school. Not a master. Outside. 50 miles.
And why was that?
In Master, you could only go till, I don't know, winter test. You know what? Before, see, I don't know. Abitur, you know what Abitur means?
I think so, perhaps.
Well, Abitur is as much as 2-year college. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's one grade before. You serve in the army. If you had that grade, you only have to serve 1 year instead of 2. Oh. So, but the school in Maastricht didn't go that far. So I had to move from Maastricht to a different school.
Did any of your friends go with you in that?
No.
And was this also a mixed school or Catholic?
Mixed school, not Catholic.
But mixed?
No, mixed, yeah.
And did you enjoy it? Which of these schools did you enjoy most?
Well, I didn't enjoy school because I always was handicapped for my early years in school. I was handicapped for all my school years because I didn't get a good foundation.
So it was hard for you as you went along?
Yeah.
And what were you planning to do after?
I went to, at that time I was fashionable, education, banking business. I apprenticed to the bank. I went to a community near Hanover. Then from there I went to Berlin.
And how old were you when you went to Hanover?
No, it was near Hanover, Hildesheim. I was 15.
You served in World War I?
As a volunteer, yeah. I couldn't wait.
You couldn't wait?
I was afraid the war would be lost without me.
And where did you go?
In the army.
Yeah, where did your, you know?
I fought on the Russian front and on the French front. I want to know everything.
What branch of the army were you in?
Artillery.
Oh.
I became, 4 weeks before the war was finished, I became a prisoner of war. You
became a prisoner of war?
I mean, I surrendered my English.
And was that a frightening experience for you, or was it?
No, frightening. After 50 years, it wasn't so frightening anymore.
It sounds as if you enjoyed the war years.
No, I didn't enjoy it. No. But it is typical for almost all Germans. We were very patriotic. The Jews are very patriotic. They got it, which came to the end. They are pretty good citizens. I think it's the way it should be.
Were these other soldiers with whom you fought, were they Gentile, Jewish?
Gentile. 99% were Gentile. The population of German Jewish population was less than 0.5%. So you can imagine the percentage is very low. But they were very nice.
They never made any remarks or anything about your being...
Maybe they would say, can you, we have, to fight, anything else. But not,
What rank were you when you left the...
Sergeant.
You were sergeant? Uh-huh. And then what did you do when the war was over?
When the war was over, I went to banking business. I was an apprentice, and after 3 years I went to Berlin. And so...
And the stock exchange was in Berlin, too?
Yes, the main stock exchange was in Berlin. Mm-hmm. There were some smaller ones somewhere, but the only one who counted to me was in Berlin.
And that's where you worked?
Yeah.
So that was about, what, 1920?
From 1920. I came back from prison in 1920. I went back to Hildesheim, finished my apprenticeship, and in 21 or 22, I went to Berlin. I was in Berlin for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And were you, when you were you apprenticed to Jewish firms or?
I was a Jewish firm. Yeah.
And did you enjoy your 4 years in Berlin? Did you enjoy the city?
Yes, very much.
What would you do when you weren't working?
Well, had a good time.
Living it up.
Living it up. You make another circus, you make a little money, you spend it.
And then where did you go after you left?
I went back to Kassel and I joined the firm, the glass company.
Now this is where you had, your family had moved after your father had sold his business. And what was he doing now? Was he in another business?
No, he was in a town.
Mm-hmm. And so you went back to Kassel after Berlin. What made you decide to go back?
The firm went into bankruptcy.
Ah.
I spent 4 years working on it, and then a competitor asked me to come with him. I did. I stayed there until 1935.
You were in Kassel until 1935?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you remember when any of the... did you hear any rumblings about Nazism or Hitler before 1933?
Every day.
Before Hitler came
like
to power?
Nobody else. You didn't want to believe it could be serious. The Jews would say, let him go to power. He will be out in 6 months. And he said, it alone.
Was Kassel, did that have a large Jewish population?
Yeah, quite large.
And did you associate with mostly Jewish people?
Yeah, mostly Jewish.
Mostly.
I had some Gentile friends too. I would say half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Till 35, then it woke up.
Do you happen to remember the day when the results of the 33 election were announced? And it was...
No. I didn't know about them. But I think it was to be expected. But the first years were not so bad. There were some excesses naturally in every community, but nothing in comparison with that.
Can you remember any one event or incident that first brought home to you that things might be a little different?
No, I used to travel, I was selling, and some of my customers would say, I sent you the order, don't come. I mean, it was clear to say, as long as they were in power, as long as they were, couldn't get a haircut in a lot of small communities, they would say, no haircut for Jews. Some restaurants wouldn't sell you. It was a matter of time.
How did they know you were Jewish in these strange communities?
Well, in Germany, my complexion, I could be only Jewish. I was one of them used to drive out on Sundays. The boss would say, there's a Jew. I never realized, how could they see that I'm a Jew? The Germans are blonde and blue eyes. The Jews are that complex.
Now, what year was it that you left Kassel?
I left to go to Berlin? From Kassel I went to the banking business.
Right, but no, when you came back to Kassel and then you left again, didn't you?
No, I didn't leave.
Were there until 1936.
Then I moved to Munich. Then I got married.
I see, okay. Now, in Kassel, how big a town? Was that still in the middle of Germany?
Middle of Germany, not far from Frankfurt.
Uh-huh.
About 200,000.
And did you find there was a, in that town itself, did you find there was a different attitude on the part of shopkeepers or storekeepers or people you dealt with in that manner?
No. Before Hitler, it didn't matter.
After he...
After, I don't know. No, I mean, the people you were friendly with, still were friendly with you, even if they wouldn't like to be seen with you. But we still met. But openly they tried to prevent it. We have no problem. I mean, I can understand that. I can even understand that people joined the party to make a living. I mean, I think if we would have been, there would be no others in the city, we would have joined them too. The same as happened in the fascists in Italy. Mussolini was not as much as the Jews became our fascists. I mean, that's self-preservation.
Did any of your acquaintances or people you knew from, you know, younger days join the party?
Well, they must have. They must have. Because otherwise they couldn't survive.
But you didn't know about it. I mean, no one...
Well, you see, in the early years, nobody showed that they belonged to the party. But in later years, you had to show. Otherwise you would have been out of business.
I see. Was there a large Nazi police presence in Kassel?
Not particularly.
And your family was still there, your mother and father and the
my
sisters? Father,
my mother died in 28. Mm-hmm. My father died in 35.
Now, why did you decide to leave Kassel in 36?
Because of the man.
But you went to Munich in the...
In 36. I stayed in Kassel up to 36.
And you met your wife while you were in Kassel?
Yeah.
And how did you meet her?
Through a friend of ours.
Uh-huh. Well, this was... the cities weren't that distant then.
Oh, there's a big distance. 5-hour train ride. 4-hour train ride. No, 5-hour train ride.
Well, were you in Munich on a holiday, or was she there?
No, she came to visit her girlfriend in Kassel.
I see. And so you met there.
Yeah.
And what was your job at that time? You were working for a glass
company.
Glass company, yeah. On the road.
Yeah.
Traveling.
Sorry.
Uh-huh. And most of your people you sold to?
Argento.
Uh-huh. Did any of them discuss with you in any way what was happening?
No, the only one of few would say, "Don't come, I send you the order."
But the rest, it just went on as usual. Yeah.
They were fairly loyal.
And so that, and did the Nuremberg laws, did that have any effect on you personally?
Well, to a certain extent, couldn't have any Gentile girlfriends anymore.
Before that you did. Were you were going out with Gentile girls? Yeah. Did all of a sudden, did you have to break off with any particular girl?
No, not any particular girl.
But you did break off with Gentile?
As she came to power, you were really more careful. So the Jews makes more than the most Jews.
What kind of response did you have? What did you think to yourself when you learned that, you know, you were no longer a citizen, having fought in the war and everything, and served time in a prisoner of war camp for Germany?
Didn't do me any, whatever I thought wouldn't do me any good. It led me to loss.
But what did you think? What was going through your head?
Very unfair. But power is a very important factor. Because the power can do anything you want. You see it in Afghanistan, you see it in Vietnam, you see it in Ukraine, wherever has the power can do anything you please.
Did you still think at that time, around 35 or 36, that somebody would defeat him or he would be overturned?
No. The only thing which he overturned himself, the war overturned him. If he would have stayed away from Russia and probably could have been successful. But the tree stump grew too high, which is where they cut down.
Now, did you have a different job when you moved to Munich? Well, you must have, it was 5 hours.
No, I worked for my father.
Oh, right. But I think your wife had said that you had lost your job. You had been working for Gentiles.
Yeah.
Now, the glass company was a Gentile firm. All right, I'm going to ask you what happened there. Let's see if we have enough. What did happen with them, with the glass firm?
Under political condition, they couldn't make money anymore. I couldn't find any problem. I am still friends with his son. Just saw him 4 weeks ago. A group of German media lady. And he has been very, very cheap.
But they were friendly, they just knew they couldn't
they
keep
couldn't
you on.
It. They couldn't help it. They wanted to stay in business, they couldn't pay attention.
Did they have other Jewish employees?
No.
You were the only one. Had up till that time, had your relationship with them been cordial?
No.
Did you socialize with them at all?
Yeah. If I come to Germany now, you still pay my bill.
So then you moved to Munich and worked for your father-in-law. Now, before, do you happen to remember when you started thinking about leaving in a really firm way?
Before I got married, before I even was engaged, I had my paper started this way. Because as my wife told you before, the German government made special allowances for people who went to Israel. You could take £1,000 at an equal value to a deflated money. And you could do better than that. If you had more money, you could give it to somebody who didn't have £1,000. You had changed it. Okay.
What was involved? Had you been active in any kind of Zionist activity when you those years?
I'm not very active.
So why did you want to go to?
For one reason only. Financially was the best thing you could make. You could then go to some other countries. You could go to South America. With £1,000 in 1935 or 36 was still money. You could live on it, but you could establish a business and something like that. But then on our honeymoon, we got like a David from the altar, so we decided to go to America.
But as early as, 1936 in Kassel, you had your papers ready for Israel. What was involved in doing that? What did you have to do to get papers? Because it was still illegal, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was legal.
To go there?
Oh, sure.
It was, okay.
It was legal.
So what?
The German government made special allowances.
And what did you have to do in order to get your papers to go to Israel?
First, you had to pay a tax that you could leave the country. There was a flight tax besides.
A flight tax besides the tax that you had to pay to leave?
You see, everybody when you left the country, if you were a Gentile, had to pay 25% tax. But if you're a Jew, you have to pay twice.
See. And you had already paid that tax?
The tax was, my father had died in 1935, and I had inherited quite a bit of money. Well, not quite a bit, but enough to have more than £1,000. There were some forms of regulation you had to fill out. Lawyer had to take you. Get a quota.
Did you have to wait long for your
quota
number?
No, I don't know because in the meantime I changed.
Yeah. Did you work through the English authorities in order to?
No.
Just the German authorities? Uh-huh. And so you were any of your friends planning to go there as well?
Yeah, some did. They
did, huh?
Or some more arrangement, what to do, what to buy, what to take along.
And where did you make these arrangements?
In Israel. I went to Israel.
Oh, you did? In 1936.
For 3 weeks.
Oh.
To see school.
And then you came back?
Yeah, I came back.
Oh, well, what was Israel like at that time when you went over there? What?
Well, very primitive at that time.
Where did you stay?
Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm. And did you go by yourself?
I went four boys from there. Mm-hmm.
How long did it take to get there? From Germany to...
It was not long. It took us from Paris, about 3 or 4 days by boat.
And it wasn't difficult to get the papers to make the visit?
No.
And looking around, did you feel that might be an okay place to establish yourself?
I did it as a financial transaction. I didn't want to, Hamzy didn't care to change it, so I thought we were going to South America. Oh. But I had to go to Israel first to stay there before I could restore my money.
I see, you already had paid.
No, I didn't have paid. I only had the permission to pay.
Well, now, were you engaged when you went over to Israel to see what it was like? You were already engaged.
On my way to Israel, I got engaged.
Oh, you did?
I stopped in Munich.
Uh-huh.
I flew from Munich to Venice. I took the boat from
there. Yes.
From Trieste, I took the boat.
And what did you do in Israel for the 3 or 4 weeks you were there?
Well, looking around, get advice from people who were there, how the conditions were, what you could do. In a chicken farm, probably where you needed the least amount of knowledge.
And now let me see, at that time, at the end of your stay in Israel, when you went back to Germany, were you planning to go to Israel, or had you changed your mind by then and decide on South America?
No. At that time, I still was open. And on our honeymoon, we got Abu Dhabi, when I said 10 months.
And where did South America come in? When did you start thinking about South America?
Because Andrew didn't like to stay this side, because the chicken farm, it was the chicken farm. Mm-hmm. So the condition in South America, especially here, they're fairly good. You could do something with £1,000. I thought it would be too cheap.
Was the hotel in Israel? Was a city built up, or was it mostly desert?
The city was built up as Jerusalem. It's a beautiful city. We had once very demonstrated with King David the mansion. The most expensive lunch that I ever had, but it was worth it. At that time, it was in Palestine. The English were still the old in Palestine. And King David had newly made us. Each one was at least 7 feet tall in their uniform. They would only sell to the white leader, very efficiently. The English knew how to live. Especially in occupied countries.
Did you encounter any Arab people?
No, only on the occasion. Just for us. It was just an Arab country. Food to buy them.
Where were you planning to set up the chicken farm?
We have also a special whole colony of German, they call them Hickers.
Isaac.
They were all there. We were in a community of transfer to Germany to Israel.
Now, did you think you would go back to Germany after things were over, or were you planning to permanently settle in Israel then?
Well, at that time nobody thought we would go back to Germany.
So you thought this was where you'd make your life?
We planned for 1,000 years. We didn't want to live that long.
All right, so you get back and you're on your honeymoon and the affidavit came.
Yeah.
And then you decided you would go to America. Let's see, your two sisters and your two brothers were alive, right? And your
yeah.
parents had already died?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And were they planning to go to...
I was the first one. My second oldest brother came in 1938 after being in camp. My other brother came in 1941, but I told you the mother was already there now. And my sister
lived
in 39, went to England. Stayed 2 more years in England.
Were you instrumental, and the other sister?
She died in camp.
During the...
And then she died in the Azusta, which was one of the better camps.
Were you instrumental in getting affidavits for your brothers and sisters?
No.
And how did you get them? Through whom?
I could make my own.
When you got here, you were well enough established to make out your own. You didn't need a supporting another.
I may have needed some support for you. But you see, when your relationship is between brother and sister, you don't need much.
I see.
But at that time, I had a job and was making a living. So.
This was over here already. Yeah.
So what the affidavit is a form. Form thing anyway. Because nobody really responsible should come to the government. But we had no problem getting up.
Well, how much money finally were you able to take with you?
To this country? Well, to this country was much less. I think I got out about $6,000. Because it has to be sold on the foreign market, and the market was very weak.
And then you had to pay again a tax? So.
No, that's all after the taxes. The taxes were paid first.
Uh-huh.
What's left over was consumed, but then the market was very low.
Did you have any trouble with the German officials about leaving, or were they happy to see you?
No. They were very fair. Most of the officials were very fair. There are some exceptions.
Now, your wife said when you first went to Stuttgart to get your visa that they said you had to have a hernia or operation.
The State Department was very bad, so all special.
So you felt this was strictly a delaying.
The real action, well, even though it wasn't the real action in this case, because you could have a hernia operation operated here too. But I mean, that is fairly legitimate that we had the operation before. I mean, I wouldn't hold that against them, but they were very nasty in the lower world.
Very nasty in what?
Nasty in a lot of other ways.
What did they...
I can't give you any specific, but I mean, the people who went to the consulate, they all came back and was very disappointed. In 1938 or 37, they made a change in Berlin. They had some problems with the consulate in Berlin. Very Jewish organization. Put the foot down and change.
But when you went, they were nasty.
I wouldn't say nasty. You can, I mean, I can. If that is a regulation, if somebody has a hernia, I said, well, that is a law. You have to obey. I mean, it's a handicap. Somebody has to do physical work. I can't do it, so he's not able to accept a certain job. I don't know, it doesn't matter. And I came back, so.
How long a time was that before you came back? How long did the operation take?
3 months. Well, you see, they only would, I think he wanted to see me after 3 months, not before. And that's probably a time where The healing process is over.
Tell me, I'll just go back a little bit. If you were all set to leave in, you know, 1936 to Israel and everything, it seems to me that really in some ways that was very early to have that awareness that, you know, you felt you wanted to get out. And I was wondering if you could tell me.
Well, I was too young. Because you had no opportunity to make a living in Germany. So what else you want? Eat up your money, you can figure out how many days you have. Besides, the condition became worse from day to day. It's more powerful it became. It's more happy.
Do you remember any incidents that happened that, that's...
I personally had no experience.
So then you landed in New York and figured you'd get a job, is that...?
Not in New York, we were divorced.
Right, but I mean, your first goal was to get a job and get established.
Well, I was lucky that I met Billy Norton, who was my job for me.
What was the job before that like for you? At the tannery, was it, in Peabody?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what that was like?
Well, it was a very unimportant job, measuring level. Stupid job you couldn't get. But the fellow did a favor to my uncle and gave me a job.
What, a Jewish man owned the tannery?
Yeah. Very wealthy Jew. If you live in Corn Leather, you must go to Corn Leather.
Con?
No, very wealthy Jew.
And so you would measure the leather.
The leather.
And how long did you work?
Right, 4 months.
And how long a day did you put in?
8 hours. But most of the time they let me go because I was the last one in the union, the first one to leave out.
Did any of the people you were working with resent the fact that a non-American had a job?
Well, I didn't, because if somebody was laid off, I was laid off. So to give me an opportunity to make some money, I had to paint the sector.
Paint the factory?
Paint the factory from the outside, because there was no union job. So he tried to be there.
How did you get from Salem to Peabody every day?
How did I get there? Was there a street
car? Did you have a cab?
No. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
I must have
taken
a bus.
Yeah, there was a bus. I don't know, the distance was somewhat high. I didn't know that.
Did you speak to the other people you were working with?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And how was your English at that point?
Sure. Yeah.
That you could communicate?
I was a prisoner of warfare, and I was 13 months in England. I spoke some school English. And here, this country is not so bad if you don't speak it.
And were his employees Gentile people or Jewish
mostly,
people?
No, mostly. Mostly Gentile. That's quite good. Mostly Turks.
Turks.
Armenian. Which is not a very pleasant job. But the measuring part of it's the best job. It's nothing. Child from 8 years can do.
What kind of things were going on in your head about what you would do to get out and, you know, get a better job while you were still working there?
Well, you see, fortunately, I met Billy Norton fairly early, so I didn't have to go through too much. And, but a very nice uncle. I'm still very proud of him.
And what were they? What did they do? Paper?
Paper, yeah.
Were they manufactured paper?
At that time when I came to them, they were jobbers, but they started manufacturing a year later. A la container companies.
And what did you do for them?
Selling.
You were selling. On the road? So your English must have been pretty good. I say your English must have been all right.
Speaking not such good English was a help to get them all.
Did people ask about your where you came from?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
did you?
Well, most of my relatives came to me. I remember I came to one two or three times. I don't know how I came out of it next last time. She said, when did you tell me that you were Jewish? You could have been with all of it out of it. So, no, they were.
Now,
there was a certain jealousy among the Jewish community in Boston, because in 1937 there was a recession. And the refugees got jobs. Americans didn't have jobs. So there was a little bit of jealousy that they got the jobs and they didn't. But I might feel that.
And you didn't encounter any hostility because you were Jewish or German or whatever. And did you enjoy doing this work?
Yeah, very much so. I'm still retired nearly 10 years and I still contact some of my customers. I had a very, very pleasant association.
Now, how had you known Willie in Berlin, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, how had you known him? Where had you...
His father had a banking business, and a friend of mine was working for him.
It's quite a coincidence,
yeah,
meeting him again.
Yeah.
Now, you said you didn't join the temple, but you went to services occasionally.
To I didn't join the temple because I didn't want to pay the money. But I think not that easy still.
But were any of the, did you meet any of the people who were very active in the community?
Yeah.
In what capacity? I mean, what?
Friends of Billy Norton.
Yeah, but I mean, what did they do in the community? What kind of?
I don't know. You know, if that?
I'm not sure. I mean, leaders of the temple or?
Yeah, he was president of the temple. Mm-hmm. I forgot the names already. The horse.
But you don't really remember any activities that were planned to help those in Germany?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think they didn't make much. The only one who was very active and then enforced, you know, to do something, was Billy Norton. He put a lot of effort.
Did you help him at all with his activities, or?
No.
See, and you were in touch with your brothers and sisters all this time.
Yeah.
And had they, were they still in Kassel, or?
No, they were, my brothers were both living in Berlin. My second brother came over in 1938. My other brother came in 1949.
And was it the quota that kept him long? And is there anything particular you remember about Lynn that you liked or you disliked?
No.
Nothing.
I only can say that the friends of Willie Norton were very nice to us. We really was participate. Every Saturday night we meet in somebody else's house, we were always sitting around.
And then you moved to Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you still keep in touch with the people from Lynn?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When was your first trip back to Germany?
1952.
And you and your wife both went over there? And did you visit your hometown?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And what was it like? What did
no town?
No town?
The town still was the wild and lower part of the new streets were still all broken up. Castle was very heavy bomb. It was 40,000 people in one night.
Was your house still standing?
we didn't own a house, but the house we lived in was still standing.
What made you decide at 52 to go back? Why did you?
Good question. Well, I had some claims. Which was one of them, my money. Where did we go? We didn't stay very long in Switzerland. I had some money coming in. What was the reason that you went?
Well, we wanted to see what it was like, and I think you went to a bar or something.
Yeah, I had some claims. But I could have done it without.
Well,
we
were anxious to see what was left
of them. At that time, we were fairly comfortable.
Did you meet any of the German people that you had known before the war on that first trip?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you talk about? What went on?
They were complaining. The Germans never expected to be beaten down so much at the field. And they were very envious of us. And my former boss said, "You deserve everything that came to you." And he meant it. And I remember the dinner when we went to his house. And we went home. He was so great. I said, "What is this?" So he checked the location. He said, "Oh." And his wife said, "Satorium, besides, you can't give me a check because you can't give an American German mark because it gets left." Oh, he said, "That's only an excuse." I said, "No. Check with your bank." So he got the bank the next morning. He arrived. Meet at the station. And he had no cash. Well, I had done something to it. I had sent them some packages from here because they were short of memory.
You said if these were your former employers?
No, to my former boss.
Yeah, right.
I sent him
packages. That was the Gentile man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really appreciate him.
Was there anyone there that you met who felt perhaps apologetic or,
Well, they felt it was very wrong that they did. That's one over them.
Okay.
That's one over them. I mean, that, what good is it? It has happened. You can't bring anybody back to life. The German government has been very fair. This one.
Mm-hmm.
The institution in a very generous way. So, but you can't bring back people.
And then you've been back every year since?
More or less, yeah. Mm-hmm. This can be.
Well, do you have anything else that you would like to add or that you would like, that you can think that the experience?
I didn't have much experience. My experience went up to bed because we left fairly early. So the resettlement here was better than I expected. So it made me better feel fortunate.
Okay. There's nothing more you care to add?
Not that I think of it.
Okay.